This is CBSI in the World with Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We go to the Israeli election, the number five Israeli election, and we're very pleased to have Ariel Kahana of the Israel Hayom newspaper to help us understand how to sort through what has happened, because the headlines in the United States and in Europe say Bibi Netanyahu is back. What does that mean? How does that translate into a vote? Ariel, a very good evening to you. Thank you. What does it mean that Netanyahu is the winner? How does that translate? Good evening to you.
Hi, good evening to you. So I would say, what does it mean? First and foremost, let's go to the mandates, to the seats in the Knesset. And we just now got the final numbers. And those are saying very clearly Netanyahu is going to have in the coming Knesset, in the 25 Knesset of Israel, he's going to have 64 Knesset members that I would say strongly supporting. All of them are right-wing Knesset members. All of them are Netanyahu's personal supporters. There is no fear by him or by others that even one of them will defect, I would say, to the other side of the anti-Bibi bloc. Because those elections actually, as were all the five that we had in the last 4 years, all of the elections were a referendum, let's say, about whether the people in Israel support Netanyahu or dissupport him. And now, finally, after less than 4 years and five elections, at last we have a clear result. We have a clear or stable, we will have in a few days, a stable coalition with quite coherent, I would say, ideology and agenda, and with no anti-Bibi parts, because that was the reason why we in Israel were in such a deep crisis for, as I said, more than 4 years. I think we can say now in a very safe way that the crisis is behind us, and now, so help us God, we'll have in the coming 4 years a stable government. And I think even those who do not support the right wing in Israel are very happy that at least the crisis is over.
Malcolm?
So tell us how you see the obvious controversial part is the inclusion of the of Ben-Gvir, of the Jewish Power Party and the Religious Zionist Party, less so, but they have 14 seats. It's a very significant percentage. Do they pose any kind of a challenge internally? And certainly externally, it's a big problem because, of course, everybody who wants to jump on Israel is using that to say, you see, it's a right-wing surge.
So, Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, the right-wing party, some are calling them the extreme right. I'm not sure about that, and I'll explain in a minute why. In any case, they are the third largest party in the coming Knesset. And I must tell you why it happened. Why is Ben-Gvir is so strong? And the answer is that people in Israel are feeling insecure because of crime, because of terror. And I would say maybe it's not, you know, so much politically correct, but it is Arab crime. We have a serious problem, by the way. Yeah, I think you have a little bit the same in America when it comes to the police and safe. Or safety, how people sure, whether people feel secure or not. I know it's an issue in your midterm elections. In any way, the reason that Ben-Gvir was so successful in the elections, not only with the religious voters, not only with right-wing voters, but also in the left, also in the kibbutzim, also in Tel Aviv, the reason is that people were feeling or still feel so insecure because of crime, because of terror, as I said, and they want someone strong to make order, to enforce the law. And that's a huge problem that we have for many years now. But definitely what happened in Israel a year and a half ago during the last Gaza war, that there was a lot of violence in the Arab cities or mixed cities of Arabs and Jews in Israel. That's a main reason why Ben-Gvir was so successful, and that's the reason he was elected and got so many votes. Now, I do want to say that Ben-Gvir that you see today is not Itamar Ben-Gvir of 20 or 30 years ago. Like many politicians, he went through personal process and political process Now, it doesn't mean that I agree with all opinion or any or all statement he will say, but you cannot deny that he has changed. He, for example, if you could hear him shouting, I don't know, 25 years ago, you should kill all Arabs. Today, he won't say so. Today, he will say you should kill the terrorist Arabs. Now, again, not everyone likes this, even this kind of statement. I get that. But we have to take in notice that this person has changed. By the way, he became a lawyer in those years and a successful lawyer, even I would say. So things are changed. The critics against Ben-Gvir and Netanyahu as one who takes Ben-Gvir for his government is actually, I would say, a political one. And I don't think that for the majority of the Israeli public, they really care because everybody knew that Netanyahu will go with Ben-Gvir, and still Netanyahu got the numbers he got. By the way, it's just a little bit going back to the first questions, if I may. If we go to the popular vote, okay, it's very close to 50-50. It's just 30,000 votes difference between the pro-Bibi block and the anti-Bibi block. That's it.
What does this mean for the Abraham Accords? Does this strengthen it, or does it mean that it starts again? How does Bibi talk about it?
So it's very early, I must say. We are now, I believe, actually a few minutes after the formal results, and just now Netanyahu declared victory in a formal way. So it's too early he's not talking about it yet. But the way I know him and what I heard from his people already, I have no doubt he's going to put a lot of efforts in renewing and expanding the Abraham Accords. He actually said that during the campaign. He said that in his speech the night after the elections. He said we will bring more peace agreements for Israel. And I have no doubt that he will try to do that. Of course, Saudi Arabia is the main or the first country we have to see if he can bring to this important process. But I believe that regionally, now that Israel first and foremost have a stable government, and that Netanyahu, who made the Abraham Accords, he's leading the government, I'm quite sure that in the region, in the Gulf states, in Riyadh, I guess they are happy to see him back, because I believe it will make the region a little bit more stable and hopefully a little bit more calm.
Malcolm,
could you comment quickly on the Arab vote? And most Americans don't even know that there are Israeli Arab parties, and they have a significant presence in the Knesset. So could you give us an assessment of how they did? I know that they didn't unify for this in a way that could have maximized their impact.
Correct. And actually, Malcolm, the reason, to be very honest, the reason why Netanyahu won those elections is actually just because of, it's a political reason, okay? It's because that that Lapid's bloc, the anti-Bibi bloc, didn't organize itself properly. That's it. And that's the reason why two parties, one is an Arab party, Balad, which is a very extreme terror supporter party, parties that actually do not want to see Israel as a Jewish state. And although that is the agenda of this party was in the Knesset for, I believe, 25 years, if I'm not wrong, because Israel is a democracy and we do respect, I would say, horrible opinions that we disagree with. But in any case, in those elections, they failed to cross the threshold, and they failed. And as well as Meretz party, the leftist party, again, failed to cross the threshold. And that's why it is not in the Knesset. And that's why, although if you go to the popular vote, it's almost equal, it's very tight. But because those two parties failed, so Netanyahu is getting 64 seats in the Knesset, which is, again, very stable coalition that he will probably have.
So how many Arab seats are there in the Knesset?
You catch me not prepared. I'm sorry about that.
But it's about 10 or 11, right? Or something like
that. I believe so. I'm sorry. I don't even have the document in front of me now. I'm sorry. I have no clear answer for you about that, Malcolm. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, but I want the people to know there are still three parties that made it into the Knesset, including Ram.
No. Now it's two.
Two of the three.
Two of the three, correct. Now, one is Ra'am of Mansour Abbas, which is Islamic party. That's the party that was part of the last coalition with Lapid and Bennett. And the other party is a joint or half of the joint Arab League, which I'm not sure about the numbers I get, so I don't want to mislead you. But in any case, both of them are in.
And the number 64, that's what you started with, Ariel, right? 64 seats for Bibi Netanyahu in the new Knesset.
Correct. And you are right that this is the most important number. You know what? Let's compare it, if you want to compare it to America, let's compare it to the Senate. You all know that once one party gets even 51 seats in the Senate, it means it has a majority. So here, because the Knesset is 120 Knesset members, so once you have 61, and definitely if you have more than 61, so you are the leader, you are the prime minister, you have the coalition, and you can run the country.
Ariel Kahana of Israel Hayom on the Israeli election number 5 looked to be determinative. Malcolm Holmline, I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.